In case you're with us today and you haven't been with us, we've been looking at some of the characteristics of love and how that looks when it's in the life of a believer, okay? And so the nemesis of all this is the idea that we want to reach out to our neighbors. And we realize that the world is becoming darker and darker. And I was looking and praying about, well, what would be the core thing that we would need to maybe look at that would give us success in our endeavor to reach our neighbors, reach our world for Christ as the world becomes darker and darker. And I think I stumbled upon something that probably is at the core of everything, and that's love. I mean, you can have all kinds of arguments, but they want to know, can want to feel and sense the love of Christ in us. And so that's why I started on this endeavor to, because sometimes we think love is just sort of this nebulous type of gushy feel-good thing, but in our own lives and in our witnessing, in our own neighborhoods and stuff, love is the thing that draws people. Love never fails. So I've been doing this. So today we're just going to look at a couple here, and I may cut it in half and do the other half next week. That's probably what I'll do. The first part of it is love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant, or some people say, some translations say proud. And love is not rude. But I wanted to state that in a positive way also. Stated positively, these terms like envy, love does not envy, would probably be, you know, you would have a generosity or a generous spirit, one of magnanimity towards someone who is actually being blessed. So love is very generous in the way it treats other people who have more than we have, or along the same things that we're doing, but are more successful at it. The other thing this whole idea of boasting or being proud or arrogant. You know, the term that I would say in the positive is that we need to express humility. That would be the positive way of saying that love doesn't envy or boast, or doesn't act arrogantly. And then the last one would be the opposite of rudeness, would be just to be courteous to people. You know, not like, I'm so done with this now. You know, I've told you all I can tell you about what I think you should know, but I'm done with this. You know, that sort of rude, sort of just put them on the side, kick them to the curb, and just not take into account what they believe or what they think. You know, and all these traits that we're talking about today contribute to a lifestyle of that we would consider other people. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking. That's what love does. It considers other people before ourselves. And you know, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, who are a very gifted church. I think that if you've been around Christianity long, you know that. You know that they had all the gifts were flowing. You know, they had gifts of knowledge, gift of the tongues, interpretations of tongues. They had gifted people who were prophesying. They had all these gifts flowing from the Spirit of God, and that was great. But the way they were treating each other was not so good. So now we have the context in the church, but we also have the context out in the world of people not in the church. And, you know, the fact of the matter is they were envious of one another. And they were envious because they had gifts, different gifts, and God was using people in a greater way, and they started to envy those gifts and saying, that's why he had to say at some point, you know, okay, tongues is great, this is static speech, language in another tongue, but, you know, we don't need to be envious of that. God chooses who he's going to gift and what he's going to give them. And the same way in the world, I mean, there's people who are more inclined to make money. There's people who have greater gifts in music. I mean, any area, they have greater in intellect and on all these areas. And sometimes, especially in our culture, we have this way of being envious of it. We have a sort of worship of especially in music and stuff, you know. But in all areas. You know, we sort of run to the people that make all kinds of money to learn how did they do it. And you wonder, is it really envy at the bottom of that? You know, it could be. The Corinthians were boastful over their own gifts. Well, look at I have this gift. And they were proud and arrogant because they perceived that their gift was more important than someone else's gift. And they were arrogant in the sense that they gave license to sin in their midst. Remember that? The one Paul wrote, and he said, look, one of you has your father's wife, and this doesn't bother you. He says, you should have been grieved at this type of sin within the church. And then they were rude to each other. If you remember, he talked about the fact that when they got together to eat, that they didn't wait for the ones less fortunate. They just kind of hogged up all the food for themselves. So Paul looked at a bunch of gifted people, but their problem was is they lacked love. So it's not hard to do. Because our love in this day and age doesn't have a lot of substance to it. You know, because we've been told that, you know, love is this, or love is a feeling, or and I have to think in Romans it talks about, or in Matthew also, that it, near the end times, many a love will wax cold. I mean, we have generations of people who don't know what love really is like, because they've come from broken homes, or they've come from homes where the mother and father aren't even around. They're out pursuing their idols and everything, and love is not taught them. So it's well worth the exercise to look at what love is. And that's what Paul's trying to do to these people, and that's what we're trying to do for ourselves. He says, love does not envy. Envy is this. Here's a definition of envy, in case you're wondering what it is. It's that bitter feeling roused by another's possessions of what we want but do not have, whether material possessions, popularity, or success. We say about people that are envious, I don't know where, I guess Shakespeare started the saying, but that they're green with envy. You've heard it. Envy's this green-eyed monster that gets a hold of us. And we think of envy as one of the seven deadly sins. But I think that for me, I would think that somebody who knows the love of Christ, somebody that is secure that God loves them, that if somebody else is doing better than them, because they know that God loves them through faith in Jesus Christ, would be less inclined to envy anybody. I mean, there's a lot of things we can envy. Neighbor's car, neighbor's house, neighbor's gifts. I mean, I'm not the only one that's ever envied, right? Or had the temptation to envy, right? I mean, have you ever thought, man, the guy's got everything. Amen. And there's some people that's got everything and they have Christ also. So it's not just you can say, well, they don't have Christ. You know? Because that's what we like to say. And we resent them having them somehow. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, tremendous man of God. You know, he said in 2 Corinthians 10:12 about this idea of comparing ourselves with someone else. That's a bad thing to do. Did you know that?
Yes.
That's a real bad thing. You don't usually end out on top. Or, well, me, I don't usually end up on top. Maybe some other people would have reason to boast. But here's what he said. He says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Talking about boasting now. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. So it's not wise to do. And, you know, in the Greek language, to envy means to burn or to boil. So you could say love does not burn or boil with envy. Rather, it rejoices with those who God is blessing. That's tough sometimes. Especially if it's someone who you don't think deserves it, right? Jonathan Edwards described it as a spirit of dissatisfaction with and opposition to the prosperity and happiness of others. Compared to who? Compared to us. And so instead of rejoicing in the prosperity of others, the envious man or woman will be troubled by it. Clear example, and maybe we could close with this, I guess, but it comes from the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph? I mean, his father, he had him in old age, right? It says later in years. And I always thought that Joseph was blessed because his father had already struggled. You know, Jacob had already struggled with God all those years. And, you know, when you get later in life, you sort of work out your own junk. You know, you sort of get a bearing in life. And so he had this young Joseph, and he loved Joseph. I mean, he had Benjamin too, but he loved Joseph, you know. But what happened is his brothers caught on to the fact that Jacob or Israel loved Joseph more, and they were upset about it. They were envious of it. They were jealous of it. And it led to the point where they hated him. I mean, you can make a case for, okay, he was a braggart about his dreams and stuff like that. But the bottom line is they didn't like the fact that he was getting all the father's favor. And so it says in Genesis 37, "Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him." Talk about the green-eyed monster. They hated him because of the way the father was pouring out his love on him. The truth be known is Israel loved all of his sons. They hated him and they could not speak a kind word to him. You ever been envious of someone? You don't want to speak to them? See, that's what envy does. Envy divides. Because you don't have that in your spirit to be generous towards this person, because he's successful and you're not, and you're both doing some of the same things. Now, envy. And you could make a case that envy was at what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain's murderous rage against Abel. What? The father God said, there's all kinds of theological reasons why he accepted the one as sacrifice and not the other. But bottom line, he was upset because God looked on favor on Abel's and not on Cain's. I mean, it could go on and on. There's also many other examples of that. So I guess today, we're just going to stop with that. Look at envy and jealousy are very close kin. They're relatives. And there's many examples of that in the Bible too. Remember when Jesus was around and he was teaching, and the Pharisees thought, "Oh, we're going to lose our audience." You know, they said they were jealous of him. They were filled with jealousy because people were turning to Christ. They were listening to the apostles, and people were being blessed, and they became jealous, and it's just from that day forward, they decided we need to do away with this guy. We're losing our base. We're losing the people that are following us. So next week we'll talk about how you can deal with that and stuff, all right?